for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December 27th, 1980. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Midwinter Camp Meeting, being held at Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Mendola is the teacher of the afternoon, teaching on how can a Christian have a demon.
We're going to be teaching today, and I'm going to need some help from some people here. So I feel if Brother Lee Elliwood could take advantage of myself and the good colonel out there, I certainly could take advantage of a few of you. And I'm going to need someone to turn in the various scriptures, and then I'm going to have you come up and read them. I want someone to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28, okay? Okay, thank you. I would like someone else to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 2. And you raise your hand if who wants to take 1 Samuel chapter 28. All right, okay, brother, you can take that. 1 Corinthians 12, 2. Brother, why don't you take that, okay? Proverbs 16, 18. Who want to give that one to? Go ahead. You can take that. 2 Samuel 13, 2. You want to take that, Rosemary? Okay. I'll get you in a minute. Let's see. Brother Wilson, would you take 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 18 through 22? And let's see. I want to give this to Pauline. I want you to take Isaiah 61, verse 3. Let's see. Beverly, I want you to take Luke 13, verse 11, and that will cover what we're going to discuss today. Okay. Now, some of you, now we're going to try. The purpose of today is we're going to add understanding to your experience. Although experience is a good teacher. Some of you had deliverance yesterday, and maybe you're questioning today. Maybe your mind is now, because I know how Satan works. Well, how can a Christian have a demon? How can he have one? Now, let me say this. We're going to clear the ground right away. It is my conviction and the teaching that will come from this pulpit, as long as I'm standing here, is that a Christian cannot be possessed. Okay? He cannot be possessed. Now, why do I say that? Well, the term possession means entire ownership. Entire ownership. And there is no accurate translation from the Greek which can give that interpretation. Man is a tripart being. He is spirit, he is soul, and he is body. Last night we were listening to Colonel Wilson, and he closed with that very scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And we touched upon it, soul, spirit, and body. When I was still in my Catholicism, I thought we had a body and we had soul, and that's it. Well, I tell you, when I'm born again by the Spirit of God, I find out that's not true. You say amen. Okay. So, now what's the point? Well, when we get regenerated, born again, whatever your terminology is. I don't know about you, but I still look at this fleshly body. I know I didn't get regenerated in this thing yet. Now, I know my soul. I still got plenty of hang-ups there that I'm trying to overcome. So what got born again? Well, it was my spirit. My spirit was quickened and I was made alive. Now, God is trying desperately to salvage my soulish realm, my mind, my intellect, and my emotions. I want to tell you, we're an engineer. He's going to have to go some to salvage that intellect. But I'm glad when he takes it over. Praise God. I want the mind of Christ. How about you? Okay, so we're in the process. Actually, I heard one preacher say it and have to agree. We're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. And there's parts of me, I got to tell you, that will never be saved. This old body will never be saved. I said it, write it down. Why? Because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But praise God, flesh and bone can. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus appeared to the 12, you know when they huddled in that room? And right away, a ghost. No, it's not a ghost. It's me. Touch me. Feel me. I am flesh and bone. But I never heard of a flesh and bone being that can go through solid walls.
How about that?
Yeah, I'd like to do that. When I was a little child, I used to play Superman. This is better than Superman.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And he ate fish and honeycomb and seemingly could do the supernatural things that we can't explain. I'm waiting for that body. I'm getting kind of tired of this one. Praise God. Okay. I said all that to say this. I feel that the Holy Spirit is that which takes resonance in our spirit. But the parts, other parts, can be attacked by demon spirits. And we showed yesterday how they come in from childhood. So, the term possession is not applicable to this discussion. In fact, the Greek word, we touched upon it the day before yesterday, is daimonid zome. Daimonid zome. And it means demonized. Demonized. Now, what does that mean? Well, it can mean a lot of things. I know some people who are legalistic about their interpretation. Well, we don't believe in possession. Well, fine. How about obsession? Or oppression? Or depression? Or suppression? Huh? I don't care. I heard one preacher say, I think it was Brother David, who said, I don't care if it's ob, o, re, pre, d, sub, or po. If you got the sus part, you got it. And that's what we're teaching here today. I don't care what you call it. If you got it, get rid of it. Well, I believe in rebuking it. Well, get rid of the contact thing. Rebuke it, cast it out, do something, but get the children of God free. Okay. Daimonid zome, demonized. And here's the way I like to explain it. If you had a transistor radio, and someone come up to you and say, how does that work? Well, it's transistorized. Now, does that have the connotation that the radio is possessed with transistors? No. Well, you get the operation that some of the working parts or whatever provides electricity, however electronics work today, some of it has transistors in it. Well, I'll tell you, that's very close to some Christians. We are saved and the Holy Spirit abides in our spirit, but there are parts of us that are demonized. Well, some of us are still jacked up by demon spirits. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. And I want to say this. If this is new to you, if you don't understand it, mind open. If you don't agree with it, if there's some bones with the meat, spit out the bones and keep the meat. Okay? But don't throw everything out. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There was a favorite scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a lot of denominational churches who have much philosophy and vain deceit. And I don't know about you, but I came from a denomination that had, can I say it, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, and certainly was not after Christ. I want to put off the old and put on the new. And if I have to do some rethinking, if I got to kick my, as the colonel said, dogma, fine. I want what God has for me. Okay. Now with that, as you know, I was introduced the other day by Irma, and she says she just loves the way I draw a little chart, so I figured I wouldn't disappoint her. I have a new one for you, Irma. Praise God. There we go. Surprise chart there. And we're going to show. Hey, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because, you know, in Colossians 2:8, the word spoil is actually almost a military term. Because it doesn't mean, for you ladies, it doesn't mean when you fix your husband a cream cheese sandwich to go to work and you leave it in the backyard of the refrigerator for 5 weeks and forget to give it to him and get this mold green looking thing. That's not what the word spoil means. Not in this context. The word spoil means as if there's two armies. One is victorious over the other, and one takes the spoils of the one who loses. Now look at the connotation that has with Colossians now. Beware lest any man, can I use a paraphrase, take you into captivity? Praise God. I'm tired of being taken into captivity. I want to be free in Jesus. Okay, for the purpose of those listening to the cassette tape, we've drawn a chart which has four columns. The second, third, and fourth column are going from left to right. Read sin, flesh, and D-E-M stands for demon. Okay? The first column, all the way in the upper left-hand corner, has a diagonal through it with the bottom box saying name and the top category. And under name, going across the rows, in one box. And it is W-I-T-C-H, that's the abbreviation for witchcraft. Next, rebellion, idolatry, and stubbornness. The next, pride, then lust, lying, strife, and then the bottom one says remedy. Okay. And with that, we're going to start reading. But before we do, let's do something here. Well, let's read the scriptures. Who's got 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7? Come on up. And we're going to fill in this box from left to right. And maybe you've never seen this before in the Word. Stand by that mic, brother. And I want you to read that scripture. Right in front of the mic, brother. Yeah, face me. There you go. Good. Thank you.
Then Saul...
Go ahead. Go ahead. That's all right. He'll be there to pick it up.
Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
Thank you very much. Okay? After reading that scripture, I would have to say that in the topic of witchcraft, we have to have a demon. Because the word says, seek me a witch that has a what? A familiar spirit. Now, a familiar spirit is not one, well, let me don't say what it isn't. I'll tell you what it is. A familiar spirit is a demonic spirit which impersonates anybody who is deceased. Okay? When we went to Canada and we were at Christian Enrichment Family Center outside Pilot Mound in Manitoba, we were counseling two girls. It couldn't be, I guess the youngest one was about 18, the oldest one maybe about 20. And we tried performing some deliverance. We were successful in some. We weren't so successful in others. And we finally come across, girl says these words. You know, Brother Frank, we are so relieved in our household that our dead grandfather has come back to speak to us. I said, run that by me again. She said, yeah, we're really relieved that we can see. Of course, it's kind of scary sometimes. I said, hold it right there. Your dead grandfather does not have a ministry of visiting his relatives after he's dead. He should have did that while he was living. What you have is a familiar spirit, a demonic spirit that looks like, that talks like, and may know things that your grandfather knew. And I'll tell you, that came, our deliverance and our counselor came to a screeching halt because they couldn't receive it. But we have this, you know what's amazing about the Word of God? How many thousands of years ago it happened, true today. Instead of seeking the wisdom of God and counsel of God, they run to a witch. And Saul knew better. He knew better because he was told by Jehovah God to wipe out the witches in the land. Now, you know what's interesting? Does anybody remember that famous scripture? In 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 23. Can anybody repeat it for me? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So you know what that tells me? That tells me right away witchcraft is a sin. Obviously. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, that means rebellion is a sin. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, that means these four lumped together. You know what I love about people? Christian people? Witchcraft. Me? Witch? Me? Oh, never. I never touched a Ouija board. Are you submissive to your husband? Don't be ridiculous. I'll never submit to a man. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Sorry. Lord, it's quiet again today, just like yesterday. Praise God. But that's what the Word tells us. I know plenty of people who would never dare go into a witch or a fortune teller, but they cannot submit I'm being serious, folks. Stubbornness? Hey, if anybody's stubborn, you're talking to a New York Italian. And I don't know, except for Dutchmen, excuse me, if they're in the audience. Hey, just give me a dirty look. There's one person we had dealt with at my place of employment. And we had took him, it took, I don't know how many years to take him from where he was in his denominational church through healing, deliverance, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but praise God, he finally made it. But the point is, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Okay, so we have those lumped together. Okay, I need somebody to come up and read Galatians 5:20. I think I'm going to read that one. Galatians 5:20. And I hope you see something you didn't see before. Right now we proved that those four are sin, but now we're going to prove that those are also the work of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19, which are these: adultery, fornication, which by the way takes care of our heading of lust, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, and witchcraft. I have never thought idolatry and witchcraft are work of the flesh. Never. But that's what the Word of God says. And you know the point is, many people want to get rid of their demons, but nobody wants to crucify the flesh. I had a letter come to us from Shreveport, Louisiana, and the woman must experience some deliverance because she said, I just wish cast crucifixion of the flesh was as easy as casting out demons. And I said to myself, amen, sister. Amen. So what you have here is that all of these, and by association can I say this, that if the Apostle Paul in Galatians puts his finger on witchcraft and idolatry as being a work of the flesh, then by association with rebellion and stubbornness, isn't that a work of the flesh? Sure. Galatians 5:20. Well, look what we got. We got these four as sin, as flesh, and as demons. You know what I like about the traditional fundamental churches? I'm going to say it. Throw stones if you want. They always have an altar call to sin. Hallelujah. Come to the altar and repent. And I'll tell you, you need to repent of sin. But where does the crucifixion come in? Where does the casting out come in? But we're full gospel, brother. You believe in deliverance? No. Well, praise God. I don't know how you read your Bible, brother, but full gospel. We've got deliverance in it. Amen. I didn't come here to work with sin or just work with flesh, but boy, we're going to get the whole three. That's why the night before last, we had repentance as a prerequisite for deliverance. Now, maybe now some of the pictures coming together. Okay? Whoever had Proverbs 16:18 come forward. Go ahead and read it, brother.
Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit must before a fall.
Thank you. Pride and haughtiness are demon spirits. Pride is not haughtiness. Haughtiness is not pride. They are separate. They go together. Pride was Lucifer's problem. We find in Isaiah chapter 14 that pride was his downfall and his sin. So pride is a sin. Is pride a work of the flesh? I don't have exact scripture for it, but if you read Galatians 5:20, by association, you can say, yes, it's definitely a work of the flesh. Okay. Who had 2 Samuel 13:2 come forward? Go ahead and read it, Rosalind.
And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her.
Do you remember when we discussed the broken covering? How many of you were here for that? Raise your hand. Okay. You don't get vexed by the agape love of God. Did you hear me? The love of Jesus does not vex me. It soothes me. It makes me into his image. What Amnon did was commit lust, and therefore it was his sin. But the word vex tells me, when used in the context, and how many times have you read the New Testament? She was vexed by a spirit. He was vexed by a spirit. You know what that tells me? It tells me right away that Amnon did not have love. He had a demon spirit. That's 1 Samuel, was that 13:2? 13:2.
2 Samuel. Okay, thank you.
2 Samuel.
13:2.
Okay. And obviously, we know that lust is a sin because we just discussed how Amnon got his from David, and David committed the sin of lust with Bathsheba. So we have 2 Samuel 11:4 as the sin. It's referred to as sin all the way through the Bible when they talk about David and Bathsheba. And is it a work of the flesh? Obviously. We just mentioned adultery and fornication in Galatians 5:20. Therefore, if adultery and fornication is a work of the flesh, certainly lust is a work of the flesh. Okay. Who had 2 Chronicles? Brother Wilson, do you have that? Okay. Did you read that? 2 Chronicles 18.
That's 2 Chronicles 20. Okay. On down.
Okay.
Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. A lying spirit, all the way back in the Old Testament. How many of you got free from a lying spirit yesterday? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Okay. Okay. So we know, certainly by this, you know, Satan's warfare just didn't come on the scene because we were born on this earth. It's been here a long time. Okay. So we have a lying spirit. Is lying a work of the flesh? Now, we don't find in Galatians 5:20 it's saying lying, but you know what you find? Heresies and sedition. What's a heresy? It's a lie of God's principle. Well, guess what? The work of the flesh. Is lying a sin? Obviously. I have no exact scripture for it, but it's a sin. Here's one I like a lot, and we run into it time and again. If you were here when I gave the example of the man and wife who had marital problems, boy, was this here. Strife. Okay, in James 3:14, it says, where there's strife and bitter envying, or some translations say, bitter jealousy, there is confusion and every evil work. So we have James 3:14 as the sin. Galatians 5:20, that's right. So it's a work of the flesh. I don't have anything for whether it's a demon spirit, but I know it is from experience, but by implication, it is. Okay. Now, we have the board all filled up, except the two check marks that we can't find exact scriptures for. Everything goes across the board as being a sin, as being a work of the flesh, and as being a demon spirit. Now, why did I spend all this time on this? Because you can't deal with just sin and alleviate your problem. That's why. You can't crucify the flesh and alleviate the problem. And can I say this? You can't cast out the demon and expect everything else to go. I'm sorry. I know plenty of ministers who are in a deliverance ministry who they cast out everything and all your problems go away. I'll say what we say in New York. Baloney. I'm sorry. Baloney. Maybe that's not very good etiquette for a preacher, but it's the truth. They want to get rid of their demon spirits, but they don't want to crucify the flesh. I had a woman come to me. She says, I need deliverance, and I need deliverance. Why do you want it? And I want to say this. God has laid it on my heart to ask why people want deliverance. And you know what she said? I want deliverance because if I don't get it, I'm going to kill my daughter. I said, well, that certainly sounds like grounds for getting you delivered, you know. But I want to tell you that the grounds for deliverance is not to alleviate your torment, but to enable you to walk with the Lord who purchased you for his possession. Your motive for deliverance should not be to get rid of a headache or oppression is that you can serve the Lord your God, and the oppression and torment will leave. People come to us with wrong motivation, and they expect the minister to do everything. No, wrong. You have to have the right motive for deliverance. And may I add this. If you're not willing to crucify the flesh, what did we say yesterday? Where there's flesh that's exposed, the fowls of the air will come and devour and feed off it. Does anybody remember that? Nobody remembers it. Thank you, Jesus, for an attentive audience. Hallelujah. But it's true. We quoted the scripture in Revelation where Christ or the angel, I forget now which, summoned the fowls of the air to eat of the flesh of captains and of the army, etc., etc. And we used the application. Well, it would expose flesh if the physical fowls that we can see can feed off the physical flesh that they see. Then why can't our spiritual fowls, demons, eat and devour flesh that's exposed and not crucified? Oh, boy, look at those funny looks I get in the audience today. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going on, regardless of the funny looks, to the remedy. I just prayed a prayer, and I thank Jesus for taking all care of this. But did he? Yes, he did. How did he remedy our sin problem? You know how? With his precious blood. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. That's an exciting scripture. Well, how about the next? Well, how about the last? Let's go to the last. What about demons? Well, we know that. He says, in my what? Name. So we have the name for the demon part, don't we? In my name you shall cast out demons. Praise God. Now, what about that middle part? That's a tough one. We have the blood for the sin and the name for the demon. You know what we have for the flesh? The cross. We have the blood of Jesus for the sin, the cross of Jesus for the flesh, and the name of Jesus for the spirit. Hallelujah! There's a lot of people, they think their crosses are real small. But I want to tell you, if you can crucify that flesh, sometimes it's possible to dry up that demon spirit without a formal deliverance, such as we're going through. I kid you not. By crucifying, say, I will not, you'll dry up his food supply with his thought to death. Amen. I'm speaking from experience. Okay, very good. Any questions before we go on? Go ahead. There's self-denial. Let's give a good example, especially for men and women who, especially for teenagers too. The spirit of lust. Spirit of lust with the pornography, with the homosexuality, with all the things that are happening in today's day and age, lust is a very big problem. But I know a minister who didn't know about deliverance, but definitely had a demon of lust, and he didn't know any better, but just to get in the Word, pray in tongues, seek God, it left. Now, I want to say this. If there's a problem with lust, we have found out that there's a corresponding spirit that will draw the eyes of men to a woman's body, and I can't get a synonym for it, but we have called out a spirit of idolatry to a woman's body. And it appears as lust, but it's really not. But once you break the idolatry thing, because how especially in the movie and on your TVs, and I'm hard on TVs, I'm sorry. I got rid of mine. But especially on the TVs and on the movie screens, the picture of the beautiful woman in the slim bathing suit and all this, I'll tell you, there's more people got a problem with lust and idolatry to a woman's body. And that was a word of knowledge we got. And it works. Let's turn to Luke 13, verse 11. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. And the subject is, how can a Christian have a demon? How is it possible? My theology just doesn't understand it. Okay, let's see if we can enlighten your mind. And behold, in verse 11, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. The King James Version says, who had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. and she was bent double and could not straighten up. That's in this position. Okay? Bent double. We had a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. The spirit threw her on the floor, and she curved into a C. Her spine literally went like that, just as it was from the scripture. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." I like the King James better. It says, "You are loosed from your infirmity." I like the word loosed better here. Verse 13, he laid hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again. Let me say this about laying on a hand. Let me just say about laying on hands. I know people in deliverance ministry. I heard one preacher say on the tape, and I couldn't believe I heard it. Jesus never laid his hands on someone who had a demon. But what does the scripture say? He laid his hands upon her. And immediately she was made erect again. You know, there's some people think, well, if I lay my hands on that person, I'm going to get their demons because the demons are coming to me and they'll jump in. I want to tell you something. I've cast out hundreds and thousands. None of them ever jumped into me. None of them jumped into Jesus. Because John 14:30 says, "The prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me." Glory to God. So why should we move with the power, the victory, and authority, and the assurance in Jesus' name? I have never, and I'll tell you something, neither my wife, and we minister sometimes very long periods of time to people who need deliverance. And immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. I like that, glorifying God. You ever hear the old excuse? "Well, brother, you just don't know my condition. I'm suffering to give glory to God." Hogwash. You are not suffering to give glory to God. I heard I'll tell you, this really blessed my heart when I heard it. One preacher was at our church one time, and he said there was an incident where he was driving down the road. And he saw a hitchhiker. "Fine, I'll be a good Christian. I'll pick him up." So he pulled his car over. The man gets in. And turns out the man was a Christian. "Oh, praise God, you're a Christian, brother?" "Yeah, praise God, I love Jesus." "Oh, praise God, you're baptized?" "Yeah, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, praise God." Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he sees him reach into his pocket, and he takes out a prescription. He said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I'm very sick. I'm suffering for the glory of God." He said, "What are you taking that pain pill for?" "Oh, it hurts so bad." He said, "Wait a minute. Did you say you were suffering that God may get glory?" "Yeah." "Don't you dare take that pain pill. If God's getting glory from your suffering, suffer." You can throw stones at me later. Praise God. Verse 14, and the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites." And I got a teaching on that. Hypocrites. May get to it later. "Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 years long, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Now notice something. Satan has bound her, and she's a daughter of Abraham? I like to read a scripture to you. Can a Christian have a demon? "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being made perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now notice these two verses. "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith that are the sons of Abraham." What's your point, Brother Frank? Well, this woman was a daughter of Abraham through the flesh.
Amen. That's what the word tells us.
If a daughter of Abraham through the flesh could have a demon, why couldn't a daughter or a son of Abraham through the Spirit have a demon? Amen, or oh me. Is it the same type of logic true, which we read in the other scripture, Mark chapter 9? That Jesus had to cast a demon out of a child. Children can have demons? Sure they can. We spent the whole afternoon on that yesterday. If the child, how about a child of Abraham? Notice the verbiage, loosed and bound. Remember Matthew 12, where Jesus cast out a spirit of a man who was blind and dumb, and Jesus says in verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Notice the word spoil again. Same connotation. Except he first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house. I think this morning was a good example of how to bind strong men. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about binding the strong men. I hope, can I tell you what I hope one day? To get out of this realm of demons and start getting in the heavenlies and start pulling down their strongholds. For me, this is on-the-job training. I'm going to greater things. Hallelujah. Okay. We had a woman come to us. I don't know if I repeated this once before, but so many new faces, I might say it again. We had a woman come to us. And I want to tell you this. What we need today is fivefold ministers with fourfold ministry. Now, let me explain what that means. When Jesus came and gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter and his disciples, there's four major activities that I see. Salvation. Healing. The baptism and the Holy Spirit. And deliverance. Amen? But reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says that when Christ ascended unto high, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the church for the work of the ministry. Now, if we had fivefold ministers with fourfold ministry, think of what a New Testament church we would really have. And look how deficient we can look across the United States and the world and we say, is that the New Testament church? How many New Testament churches you know have that? You can start counting on one hand. Praise God for a place that can come and can share what we have. Hallelujah. Okay. We read in another example in Mark chapter 7. If you're close by there, turn there in verse 25. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. In verse 26 of Mark 7, now this woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And there's that childhood thing again. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. I would dare say that half of the Christians I know, if they would have been called a dog, that would immediately discourage them and they never would have kept on asking Jesus for their deliverance. Amen. But not this woman. But she answered and said to him, oh, I love this. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs go under the table to get just those crumbs. Oh, glory! Move! And he said to her, because of this saying, go your way, the demon has already gone out of your daughter. And going back home, she found her child lying on the bed, the demon having departed. What faith. But notice something here. Children's bread? Children's bread? That's an interesting term. I'm a child of the kingdom. I'm a child of Abraham. To me, that means something special to me when he says a children's bread. Would it be exact to say that we have a loaf and we have crumbs? If a crumb could deliver someone who's not even a child, glory to God, think what the whole loaf could do. Hallelujah! I want the loaf. I don't want just the crumb. And you know something? I'm entitled to it. Because I'm a child, and so are you. We don't have to beg for crumbs. What the brother said the other night about pleading and pleading the blood of Jesus. We already have it. Why do you plead something you already have? You've got the children's bread too. It is yours. The whole loaf. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Do you ever consider some of the epistles? I'm going to be going fast, so you just listen. You have time to turn there. I want to say this about the brother who spoke last night. I want to tell you, I thought us New Yorkers could speak fast, but boy, I tell you. Brother, I want to tell you, New York's got nothing over you. But I'll be going fast too, so you just hold on to those Bibles. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. You've probably read that a zillion times and never thought anything of it. But do you know what the Greek word for place is? Place? It's the Greek word tapos. It means place, a quarter, such as maybe in an army barracks, location, spot, room, and I like the last one, license. Ooh, license. Neither give a license to the devil. I tell you, I don't want to give him license for anything in my life. And you know, that word license has a particular meaning to a deliverance minister. Because demons are legalists. They're legalists. We had a case, I remember I attended a Bill Gossett teaching seminar. And I don't know if he's spirit-filled or not, but I want to tell you, he ran into a soldier who had a demon. He was a Christian, and as he was counseling him, another voice came up, threw him on the floor. And here's Bill Gossett scratching his head, you know. And then when he saw another voice, he said, it must be a demon spirit. He said, what's your name? Russ. In the name of Jesus, come out. No. Come out. No. Why won't you come out? Oh, he's got Playboy magazines at home. I don't have to come out. There's the license, my friend. There's the license. Everybody, you know, it's like the, can I say this? It's like the old black comedian. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Amen. Everybody wants to get free of the demons, but nobody wants to go home and do that leaven hunt. Leaven, that leavens the whole lump. It goes in, you know, and oh boy, what about those books? And oh, what about that book on Nick Casey? Oh, Gene Dixon, what about that book? Oh, no, let's keep them there. Oh. We had a woman who had a spirit of witchcraft. And I want to tell you, she was as close as I know as to a professional witch as I have known up until this day. In fact, her husband was under a spell, and he was having all sorts of problems. And she finally got saved by the power of God, and we had to perform deliverance on her, and I saw, as we called that spirit out, her eyes glossed over, and there was something looking at me through her eyes. But it would not come out. And I said, I'm not spending any more time on this. You have something in your house. Brother Frank, hold it right there. I have gone through my house. I have looked in every drawer. I have went through every bookshelf. There's nothing in my house. I said, there's something in your house. Brother Frank, there's nothing. I said, you go look. You go look. And if there's nothing, we'll try again. But you go look first. Week later, Brother Frank, yeah, there was something in my house. What was it? Well, I don't know, you know, this coincidence. I don't know how I could have missed this. But I pulled out my drawer to the dresser, the uppermost drawer, and right in the back, I found the patron saint of witchcraft. You know something? I didn't have to lay hands on her and do anything. As soon as she threw that out, she was immediately delivered. Well, we're going to get into objects when we speak on Break Those Curses Part 1 and Break Those Curses Part 2, and you need to hear it. Because if you got an object in your house, you're under a curse. But getting back to the word license, demons are legalists. They know what you've done, and they know if you mean business. We had a man come to us who, I got demons, and I've got to get free, and they're bugging me. And, okay, take it easy. But you know, deep down inside, he really believes in deliverance. And I caught in my spirit what his main problem was. He had demonic subjection to his father. And when I saw that, I said, renounce demonic subjection. And as soon as he said the word, So Jim said, oh, please don't cast me out. Please don't cast me out. I said, get out in the name of Jesus. And then it just, we battled that thing for an hour and a half, and it wouldn't go. And the only thing I knew how to do is say, go back down in the name of Jesus. That's the only command it would receive. And it went back down and hit itself. As you know, in the stirring process, as it manifests itself, it went back down. We talked to the man, says, do you realize what's been going on for the last hour and a half?
Yeah.
And my pastor said, and I tell you, he's been in deliverance a long time too. My pastor told the man, brother, I want to tell you something. That thing had so much hold on you that I don't think it would take too much for that thing to rise up and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. If you want deliverance, you better mean business, and you better get rid of that thing now. I want to tell you, there was instant repentance, and the guy got free. We had a woman come to us at Rock Lake. We're up in Manitoba, Canada. And she was a beautiful Christian, walking in the light, submissive to her pastor, since her husband had died. And for you widows who are in the audience, if you don't have a man, a husband, you'd be submissive to an elder. Now, I'm not talking about discipleship. I think we all know about that. But I feel, and I believe the word says, about the men in the body taking care of the and the widow. And I think God's got to speak to you personally how to handle your own particular circumstances. But anyway, she came to us, and her look on her face was just haggard, worn out, and she looked like a little old lady. She wasn't very old. I said, what's wrong? I said, Brother Frank, I'm always crying. I can't stop crying. I said, well, when did this come in? Well, my husband died 18 months ago. I said, I know exactly what you got. I don't see any sin in your life. I don't see any objects. I don't see any this. But I'll tell you what you did do. You opened the door and gave license, a dwelling place, for a spirit of... And we cast it out, plus a couple other spirits. When she came back tonight, she was radiant. And she looked like God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Did I give that to you? Read verses 1 and 2, brother.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led.
Thank you. At first reading, there doesn't sound too much in that scripture. What's in there about deliverance? Brother Frank, I think you flipped your cookie. There's nothing in there about deliverance. Well, can anybody explain to me how you can be led away by an idol? Do you ever see an idol walking a Gentile down the street? I have never had you do that. But what is it talking about? Well, yeah. But what it's talking about is that behind the idol, there's a spirit. Don't we say as Christians we want to be led by the Spirit of God? But what spirit is leading the unbelievers? The unholy spirit. And he's saying, don't be led as you were by these dumb idols. Meaning that there's a spirit behind it. And I want to tell you something about idolatry, which the man just spoke. We have run into some hairy, and I don't know how else to say it, some hairy spirits of idolatry. And I want to say this. If you've got children who've got posters of rock and roll stars in their bedroom and got hard rock music that they're playing, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you this solemnly, get rid of it. It's idolatry. We dealt with a man. I have never seen this before. In the name of Jesus, what's your name? From the spirit of Elvis Presley. What? I never, don't find that in the Word of God. But you know what we did find? You go into his room, and there are poster boards of Elvis Presley. There is rock music of Elvis Presley. There is fans of Elvis Presley. And every time this joker would go into a restaurant, he dressed up in a fancy suit with a guitar strapped around his back and act like Elvis Presley. What do you think it was? Idolatry. And we found in every case of idolatry, there's a specific name to whom the person is idolizing. Just talking with Irma yesterday, she ran into a woman who was dressed exactly... Kennedy used to dress as. And she looked at the woman and she said, what's your name? And she heard the demon say, my name is Jackie, Jackie. We had a woman. Now, I don't know what your denominational background is, but I'm going to tell you like it is. We had a woman come to us who was deeply into Roman Catholicism. Now, you know my past testimony, some of you do. I'm just going to tell you the way it was. She was bound by a spirit of Catholicism, and we cast out four spirits from Catholicism. Doctrinal error, confusion of doctrine, and guess what the last one was? Idolatry. And as we cast out that spirit, I wish I had the tape here, because I got this one on tape. In fact, I didn't want to put anything like this on tape, but my cousin, Vinny Terranova, who's director for Cops of Christ, he says, put this thing on tape. I said, come on, Vinny, I don't want to put these ugly things on tape. He says, well, look, put it on. If you don't get a witness lady, you can burn the tape. Okay. He's my elder in the Lord anyway. I'll be submissive. So I did. And I'll tell you, I listened to that tape, and I can believe what's on it. And as we command the spirit of idolatry to come out, the voice changed in a woman about 43 years of age. And it said, I'm the spirit of Saint Peter Claver, and I have killed many people. And after we got this thing out, my cousin says, Frank, how are we going to tell this story to 500 million Catholics? Good question, brother. I still don't know how to tell that story. But I want to tell you, if you're idolizing something, there's a spirit behind it. Now, is this for the body of Christ or is this for the heathen? The brother just read about spiritual gifts. I don't know anybody who's in a Pentecostal charismatic realm. Of course, it's probably, more correct, brother. Amen. Who's using the gifts of the Spirit on heathen, they're using it on the body. Doesn't it say that it's edifying for the body of Christ? That's what the gifts are for. Well, I go down that list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and I find a real funny gift. You know what it's called? Discerning of spirits. Now, if the gifts are for the edifying the body of Christ, and if I have a gift of discerning of spirits, that's for the heathen all of a sudden. Amen, folks. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world, and some of them are into the church. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, we find these words. For I am jealous over you, Paul says, with godly jealousy, not demonic jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I present you as a chaste virgin. Praise God, that's all I want to be. But I feel lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, or who we have not preached, and I'd like to emphasize the words, another Jesus. Or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received up to this point, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, I'm afraid you might bear well with these. Now, what was Paul saying? Well, you know the story about Corinth. Well, they're very operative in the spiritual gifts, they were carnal. He says, I still got to feed you with, pablum and milk. I still have to wipe your bottoms and put your diapers on. This is the paraphrase tradition. He says, and you're not ready to go on to meet. And in fact, you're so carnal that if somebody came to preach another Jesus with another spirit, with another gospel, you'd probably listen to him. You're so carnal. And I want to tell you this. There's a doctrine in the land called Jesus only, and it's not of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I may not intellectually know how that can be, but that's the Word of God. And if you have another Jesus, can I tell you something? You have another Holy Spirit, which is not Holy Spirit at all. And you have, bottom line, another deception. The key word in this chapter and in this verse is receive. We were sitting at the lunch table, and we were sharing with the women how that when we went to Manitoba, Canada, it just blew our minds to think how women are the ones. Now, you may think I'm a male chauvinist, but I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says it was Eve that was first deceived, not Adam. She was first deceived. And the problem is, we receive everything. But God didn't tell us to receive everything. He told us to try the Spirit. Deceitful workers with deceitful spirits. Amen. What don't you receive? You don't receive those. And you don't want to receive curses, sin or demons. How do we resist? Well, we taught about maintaining deliverance. Here's something else you can put in that folder. You need your B.A., born again. You need to get your M.S., which is more of the spirit. And you need your Ph.D., which is your doctorate in practicing holiness. And if you have those, you've gone your way. You need also the armor of God. Now, in receiving, we talked about the offensive and the defensive, but in a term of receiving, you need that defensive weapon. And we're going to get into that when we talk on curses, so I won't talk about it here. Reactions to Christian people about this message is, let's talk about Jesus, King of Kings. I don't want to talk about demons. I don't want... You're demon conscious. You want to take away the glory. I had one brother, bless his holy name, who come to me and say, you know, Brother Frank, what your problem is? All your deliverance gives glory to the devil. Yeah. Now I want to reason this thing out here, man. Here comes somebody who's bound, who can't move, who's crooked, who's all bent up. We perform deliverance, they go out shouting and leaping, and I'm giving glory to the devil? God, thanking Jesus, praying in tongues. Of course, tongues are from the devil, too. But what ridiculous. But what did the Pharisees say about Jesus? And they're saying the same about us. But Jesus said, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. We're bringing the true kingdom of God in. And I thank God that he's raised some of us up to usher it in. Praise God. Well, you talk about Satan too much. I think the brother here is going to appreciate what I'm going to say. And I think I mentioned and made allusions to it the other day. When they draft our young men and they put them in the armed forces. I know when I was in ROTC, one of the first things I had to do was find out how to take apart an M1. How to put it back together again. And you would think for a mechanical engineer that would be easy, but you don't know how many parts there were. And I want to tell you something. You have to know about the enemy, his strategy, his weapons, and his tactics. But you know, in the kingdom of God, nobody wants to know anything about the devil. Nobody wants to know about him, his strategy, what he does, what he can't do, and what he does do. I'm ridiculous. This is unbelievable. I have never met as many stupid people until I became a Christian. Praise God. Everybody wants to be in the army, but nobody wants to discuss strategy. Did you hear anything so ridiculous? We are like the proverbial ostrich who's got his head in the ground and our hinder parts exposed and in the air. So that the devil could come along and kick us a couple of times. But it's time we raise up as the army that Jesus proclaimed, we'd march through the land and start giving the devil a kick in the pants. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. I'm getting excited. Glory to God. You know what I like about God? He looks at the enemy and he sees past, present, and future. And he says, in fact, didn't he say this to the Israelites? Go in and take the land. Your enemy's already defeated. That's what confounded the 10 who didn't have the good report. What? We're like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, grasshopper Christians always jumping around here, there, and everywhere. Never steadfast in the Lord like Joshua and Caleb was. But you know something? God looks upon us and he says, I've already defeated the devil. I've kicked him in the pants long enough. I defeated him with my blood, with my name, and with my cross. It's time you start ushering in the kingdom. It's time you pick up where I left off, carry the ball, and let's see what you can do. The Bible tells me there's a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews who are standing in the ringside seats and who are clapping and cheering us on. Now we're going to fail, God? No. Now's the time. We start handing the ball to one another, start running to the goal line, and start claiming the word for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, if the devil's defeated, Brother Frank, how come we got so much problems with him? Good question. But you know, the scripture also tells me in two places, Hosea and again in Isaiah, my people are both destroyed and in captivity for the lack of knowledge. And I want to say this. I get the newspaper on Sunday. And I couldn't help notice one Sunday. I don't know if you get it up here. But there's a cartoon of a little caveman called BC. You get that? And his friend Thor comes up to him and says, I've got a weapon. Boy, that can defeat anything you've got. BC says, Thor says, sure can. Can it beat Rolling Stones? And I don't mean the rock group. And Thor says, sure can. BC says, wait a minute. Can it beat a catapult? And Thor says, sure, it can beat all of those. And BC says, what is this weapon? And Thor reaches down on the ground. Now you listen to this. Reaches down the ground, and he has a piece of paper in his hand. And he opens it up, and there's a word. And this is a superior weapon. And the word says, propaganda. Apply that spiritually, folks. Jesus said, I have defeated your enemy. But as soon as the enemy comes knocking on our door with false propaganda, we defeat him. Do you know why many of you have lying spirits? It's not that you are liars. You're beloved people. I eat with you. I talk to you. You don't lie. But see, that's the misconception of a lying spirit. A lying spirit whispers in your ear and you give credence to the lie. And you have bought a lying spirit. It is a lie. And let's look at it this way. If the devil only has propaganda, that means it's all talk. We've got the weaponry, we've got the dunamis, and we've got the exousia, the authority. Let's use it. Now, people who go through deliverance, and brother, am I running too long? Can I? People who go in deliverance usually have the Elijah problem. Now, what do I mean by that? God, am I the only one left? Am I the only one who needs deliverance? No, you're not. So I'm going to tell you of a story of a fella I know who needed deliverance. Now, let me tell you something about this man. He was a minister. He already had his license to preach God's word. He was an elder in his church. He was saved for a number of years. And one time there was a man who came in late for a deliverance thing. They counseled with the man. And the man says, like, I want you to hear what the words he says. I am not submitted. And God spoke to me through that. That's why I preached that message the other night. He said, Frank, don't you do anything. Don't you even try to cast out a demon because of that confession. And I turned to him and said, brother, I love you. But by your words of your mouth, I can't do anything. And he walked out the door. So the minister said, well, since I brought the deliverance team here for this guy and this guy left, there's nothing to do. Work on me. Well, three ladies in the room. One of them was his wife. She thought it would be a good time to work on her husband. Sat him in the close hot seat. And they started to go fishing. Well, what do you think is wrong with him? You know how wives are. Don't you just love wise men? They always see those blind spots. You know what I like about blind spots? Nobody else sees them but the other guy. That's why they're blind. Otherwise, you'd see him. Praise God. Well, his wife says, there's something about my husband. He's a perfection. Ooh, is he a perfection? The car, if it's not right, he washes it again. When we go out, we got to go here. He times how many steps per minute it would take to go from one place to another. And he wants to know why I'm walking so slow. He drives me nuts. He's got it. The husband, yeah, I think I got that one. Get rid of it. Praise God. Laid hands on a minister. Elder. Had the demon. Coughed it up from his lungs. Well, that's one down. Two to go. And I'll tell you this about demon spirits. If you've got one, they're like cockroaches. You got a couple more. Now, you may laugh. I'll tell you something, but you don't live in Florida. In Florida, they're so big, they wear Buster Brown shoes. Lord, did you hear the amens on that one? So they asked the wife again. And I want to tell you something, men. When there's nobody else around to perform deliverance, and you have to submit to three women, you pretty much go that in the deliverance, your male chauvinism, if there's anything there, is going to go out the door. That's good. You need to get rid of it. Oh, I know what he's got. What? Impatience. He's got impatience. Are you sure? Ruth, can I just tell you? You may know if you have a spirit of impatience. A spirit of impatience will always manifest itself behind the wheel of a car. You know, when you're driving in the right lane, and this old lady comes passing you on the left, see? And you think she's going to pass you and stay on the right lane. But she's got her blinker on to make a right turn from the left lane. And you're on the right lane, and she's in front of you. And all of a sudden, you slam on the brakes, and she cuts across you and there, and you want to bite your steering wheel in half. And then you go a little bit further. You're trying to get to work. And now you figured, I had enough on the right lane. I'll get on the left lane. Right? So you get on the left lane, and you come to a light. And the light says, no left turns between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's exactly 7:30, and there's somebody making a left turn. And you're holding that steering wheel, praying in tongues, but you know you'd like to go to him and bash his head in. So now you have to make up for lost time. And the speed limit says 55, and you're doing 7. And somebody who's doing 65 is just too slow for you. And you're honking that horn, probably saying something like, get out of the way! Can't you see I'm God's anointing? I think the reason why so many of you are laughing is because you've got it. Well, this preacher, this elder, guess what? He had it. And it was cast out. So then they're counseling him again. They said, what else do you think you got? And he said, well, I'm a critical person. And one of the women said, no, you're not. I said, sure I am. I said, no, you're not. I said, well, I think I am. I said, could it be self-criticism? Yeah, that's it. I'm not really critical of other people. I'm inwardly critical, self-critical. That's it. Well, they cast that out, and that was gone. Now, I usually don't like to use names over a tape with an audience, but I think knowing this individual good enough, I think I can tell you his name. His name was Frank Mendolia. So if you want to know how I stand on deliverance, I want to tell you, it happened to me. I can tell you something about pastors and leadership in general. I shared this story about impatience, about the car incident, and I want to tell you something. I still got to crucify the flesh on that one. But I talked to a pastor, and I told him how impatient I was. He said, that's nothing. He said, I'm worse than that. I said, what? A pastor? He said, I remember one time I had to go to a funeral. He says that I had to go from one end of town to the other, and I was late. And I want to tell you that Toyota was in fourth, and I was flooring it. He says, and there's an old lady in front of me doing 35 miles an hour. And I bored it, burned me up, so I downshifted into third. I swung over to the left. I floored it. I drew on my right blinker. I cut her off. And I looked in my rearview mirror. And very solemnly, he bowed his head and said, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for that. If I knew it was a Christian, I would have cut her off a little bit later. Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I repent of that. And if it happens again, oh, glory to God, if it happens again, I will prove myself to you. He said, Frank, that was the most stupid prayer I could have ever prayed. Because I was on the same road. 2 miles down the road, another lady driving 35 miles an hour. And I'm so late for the funeral. I was behind her, trying not to bite my steering wheel in half. And so finally, I downshifted into third. I pulled over on the left lane. I boarded it. I threw my right signal on. I cut her off. And she had a dump on the front, too. You know, we laugh about a lot of idiosyncrasies that we think are ours. I want to tell you something. They're not even ours. It is. Why suffer for a demon? Why not get free by the power of God and then live that balanced, normal life like God wants you to live? You remember yesterday's sketch? Okay. We're going to continue. Brother, I think deliverance is in order. Okay, praise God. A lot of you, remember how we discussed this, Proverbs 11:1, the principle of Scripture? A false balance is an abomination before the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You remember that? And we call this group of demon spirits the small eye. And, you know, I would like to, a lot of people have asked me about this, and I'd like to clarify it for you. Remember how we said these things are opposites? Lessons. What's the opposite of inferiority? Very good. Introvert. Rejection. Rebellion. Very good. Now we give you a little more difficult one. Ahab. Very good. Interior. The interior is not a demon. All it applies to the description of the small eye, the introverted, insecure, rejected person. And what did we say? The person who's got these hidden ones doesn't want anybody else to know his insecurities. So he puts on the facade, the big eye, the super person, super Christian. We've got plenty of them. Okay? Remember, okay, so what about, let's see, I'll give you some tough ones here. What about self-accusation? What would be the opposite of that? You know what we found out what the opposite was? Self-justification. Self-criticism? Self-exoneration. Ooh, somebody, it's not my fault. I didn't do it, it's not my fault, you know. Self-exoneration, we had those. And I'll tell you something, for the ones who have more and more into this realm, they have a lot more into this realm. Now, to show how that principle of Scripture is true, I want everyone to be honest. How many people that we have dealt with had demon spirits in this, had corresponding opposites in this circle? Would you be so good to raise your hand? Keep them up. I want people to turn around and look. Look at that. Isn't it wonderful that God uses the principle of God's word? Now, we know that Proverbs 11:1 says nothing about demons, but it's the application of that scripture, the truth of that principle to the spirit. Okay. We're going to go on, and we're going to... Sure. Proverbs 11:1. The Bible says, a false balance. Remember this, those old justice scales. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just is his delight. Actually, he wants us to be just and weighted evenly so that we're not fanatical on one end and fanatical on the other, but balanced. He wants a balanced personality, a balanced Christian. Okay. Okay, we're going to continue and we're going to go after some more in this realm. Now, we may deviate from this list a little bit because there's many other spirits that I can't throw up on the board. In fact, we counseled a woman today, and we felt led of the Lord to give her the... Actually, only have 10 of these made up. And I don't have more because we just couldn't make it more before we came here. But I feel led that as God sends the right people to me, I will hand these out free of charge. And what it is... It's a demon grouping of the small eye and the big eye, plus all witchcraft, curse, and satanic realm. It's got everything on it. Now, naturally, it can possibly have every spirit, but it gives you an idea of what to look for. Now, we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, which naturally we add to the list. And I'll tell you this, if I'm ever here again, you'll never see this list again. Because like the brother said, we're always growing in the Lord. We're always finding out new things. I hope next year this list will be much more comprehensive. So we're going to use this list in conjunction with these circles, and we're going to go one step further. I want everyone to be open. You heard the word of the Lord. It was funny, but yet it was serious. And it's time we need to get free of these things that have us bound. Okay, we're going to do the census. There's new people here. We're going to do the same thing that we did yesterday. And for you new people who have not heard it, can I say this? I'm not in the tape ministry, and I don't want to make money off your tapes. That's why I bring my personal tapes here. If you want to buy tapes, that's the man you get them from. I'm not going to conflict my ministry with his. The Lord told me that. I suggest you listen to the tapes on maintaining the deliverance. You need to hear how to hold them out for your new people so that you can get free and stay free. Okay, let's move on. I want everyone who's seeking deliverance to say this prayer after me. And as we say this prayer, I want to allow the Holy Spirit of God to quicken to you those things that have you bound, that you know you're bound in, but you want to get free. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I desire to walk with you, to follow you, to even enter the Holy of Holies. And I want to be free of all that besets me. In accordance with Joel, I call upon you as my deliverer. Satan, I renounce you. I set my will against you. And I command you to leave me right now. More specifically, I renounce the following spirits. Now you renounce whatever is besetting you. Whatever on here, whatever God quickens you, renounce it in the name of Jesus. Renounce it. Whether it be rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, sexual immorality, homosexuality. It's a spirit. It's not a person. And it's not your hormones. It's a spirit. It's a demon. Whatever it may be, renounce it. Okay, we're going to begin. We're going to start in the area of rebellion. I come against the spirit of Jezebel in Jesus' name. The spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I command you to turn the women loose in Jesus' name. Spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus, turn the women loose. Spirit of Jezebel, turn the women loose in Jesus' name. For the men, Ahab, you spirit of Ahab, turn them loose in Jesus' name. Ahab, turn them loose. And Jezebel, turn them loose in Jesus' name. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need help, raise your hands. We'll get somebody to help you. Jezebel, turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Jezebel, turn them loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn that woman loose in Jesus' name. An independent spirit, especially among the women, independent spirit, turn loose of them in Jesus' name. Independent spirit, turn that woman in the back loose in Jesus' name. Independent spirit, out in Jesus' name. Independent spirit, out in Jesus' name. Independent spirit, turn her loose in Jesus' name. Out, out, independent spirit in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Don't look around, you keep your eyes on me. The people I send around know what they're doing. Independent spirit, get out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Self-pity. Get out in Jesus' name. Your spirit of self-pity, get out in the name of Jesus. Turn it loose. Turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Self-pity, turn them loose in Jesus' name. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Self-pity, turn them loose in Jesus' name. Self-pity, turn them loose in Jesus' name. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Self-pity, get out in Jesus' name. Okay, pride, let's go. Move out in the name of Jesus. We come against pride in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Pride in the spirit of Leviathan. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. Turn him loose. Turn that young man loose in Jesus' name. Pride out in Jesus' name. Pride in Leviathan. Get out in the name of Jesus. Leviathan is of the children of the sons of pride. Get out in the name of Jesus. Turn him loose. Turn Raymond loose in Jesus' name. Turn him loose. Pride. Pride, get out in Jesus' name. Turn that young girl loose in Jesus' name. Pride, out in the name of Jesus. Pride. Get out in the name of Jesus. Pride. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before fall. Get out, pride. In the name of Jesus. If you people got delivered from superiority, you probably got pride. Get out in the name of Jesus, pride. Get out of Niner in Jesus' name. Turn her loose. Get her and turn her loose in Jesus' name. Turn her husband and her loose in Jesus' name. Pride, get out. Pride, get out in the name of Jesus. Turn her loose. Turn her loose in Jesus' name. Pride, out in Jesus' name. Haughtiness, come out with it. Spirit of haughtiness, get out. You go together, I know you do. Get out, haughtiness, in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Haughtiness, get out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Haughtiness and pride. Get out in Jesus' name. Spirit of self-condemnation. You picked it up from a church. They told you you're not worthy enough. It's a lie. There's no, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you have a spirit of self-condemnation. You old Pentecostals, you listen to me. You've been told a lot of things. You probably got it. Get rid of it. Self-condemnation. Get out in Jesus' name. Self-condemnation. Get out in Jesus' name. Turn it loose. Renounce it and let it go. Turn that couple loose in Jesus' name. Self-condemnation. Self-condemnation. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out in the name of Jesus. There's a spirit of guilt that goes along with it. Guilt. Turn God's people's minds loose in Jesus' name. Guilt. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Guilt. Guilt and self-condemnation. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Get out in Jesus' name. Turn that woman loose. Get out. Guilt. It's a spirit of guilt. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Some people are bound more than others, people. You're getting free easy. Thank God for it. Guilt and self-condemnation. Turn them loose. Praise you, Jesus. We come against the spirit of escape in the name of Jesus. Escape. It's a fantasy. It's not fantasy land anymore. Out in the name of Jesus, escape. Out. Out, escape. Get out of that woman in Jesus' name. Escape. Out in Jesus' name. Turn that woman loose in Jesus' name. Turn that woman loose in Jesus' name. Escape. Out. Turn this young man loose in Jesus' name. Escape. Out. Out. Escape. Fantasy, come out with it. A spirit of fantasy. Get out in the name of Jesus. Turn this young man loose in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Escape and fantasy. Get out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Escape. Get out. Fantasy. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Loosen and let him go. Escape and fantasy. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Fantasy. Out in Jesus' name. Fantasy, out in Jesus' name. Okay? You young people, you listen to me right now. You young people. If you've been on drugs, if you've been on speed, heroin, marijuana, you listen to me, good. You have a spirit of drug addiction, but it's more specifically in the Greek, a spirit of pharmakia. You need to renounce it and you will get free. I renounce the spirit of pharmakia. If you've been on prescriptions that were addictive and you could not turn loose of them, I got news for you. You got it. You need to get rid of it. And don't tell me a doctor prescribed it. I'll tell you how many stories we had to get rid of demons that doctors did prescribe. Pharmakia. Okay, in the name of Jesus, pharmakia, out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Pharmakia. Out in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.